Well, welcome. This is Carlotta Waldman, and I'd like to welcome you to Crosswalk Talk Radio, a production of Crosswalk Life. I'm an ordained minister of counseling, minister to ministers, seminar leader, and author of two major equipping websites to help you get the training and preparation you need to fulfill your gifts and calling these last days. NowFaith.tv is our ministry training school online, and CrosswalkLife.com is our mother's site with over 300 free articles. We want to encourage you to stay tuned tonight, call a friend to join us, so that you can learn more about stirring up spiritual gifts, how to develop them, and get the courage that you need to step out in the ways that God is calling you to step out. You'll hear true stories, you'll hear personal prophetic ministry to callers, and if you would care to call in, the number is 917-388-4683. Now tonight, I've done something I will not always do, but I have put the verses that I'm going to be using about spiritual gifts and about the Holy Spirit trains us and equips us and tutors us in those areas. I put them in a note on my Facebook page. If you don't know how to get there, you can go to crosswalklife.com and look at the top left, and under the little box there, there's a box that says our websites. And you just look at the icon for Facebook and click on that. Go to my Facebook page, and you'll see a note that's about stirring up your spiritual gifts, the verses for tonight. Even if you're hearing this broadcast at another time, you can still go there, click on notes, and go back to that note. It shouldn't be too far back. I don't post that many. But tonight, I wanted to give you the scriptural foundation that I was introduced to after having been in a denominational church for many years that had not been like totally against the gifts. They wouldn't say that. They just didn't allow them much in church. They'd allow service and mercy and helps, of course, some teaching, some pastoral gifts. But when it came to the revelation gifts, where, you know, it was really seriously supernatural, they'd pretty much say, oh, well, all that went away when Pentecost was over. And then I realized, you know, that didn't really make any sense, because all these epistles that Paul wrote that included verses about the gifts in Romans and all, that was written like decades after Pentecost was over. And so I thought, well, what's up with this? But I didn't really, really look into it till I was an adult, because I was surrounded by people that didn't allow the revelation spiritual gifts to be practiced in church. I even had dated someone that I met up with later who found out that I had really gotten into the spiritual gifts, and he says, well, you can come to my church, but just don't practice the gifts in church. And I thought, well, sorry, but God forbid we should do spiritual gifts in church. And I was like, okay, so what is all the conflict about here? And I thought, well, the way I'll present this tonight, rather than preach at you, rather than try to persuade you, I'm just going to tell you some areas where I changed my mind. Because in our church, we had kind of a pride that we believe the Bible really more than anyone else. But when it came to these verses, there was always something like, oh, God doesn't do that anymore. We don't do that in this church. Or, you know, basically trying to give me the impression that we were the majority and God just didn't do it anymore. But the more I became well-read, the more I saw that in the 80s, the prophetic move began. And by the early 90s, there were books being written that said two-thirds of the world believed in Pentecost today, a Pentecostal movement, and believed in spiritual gifts. And I thought, okay, so those that are saying God doesn't do the same things today he did yesterday are not the majority after all. So if you're one of those, I love you, and I'm glad that someone took the time to go over these verses with me, and if you'd like to hear my story, just stay tuned in. I did not understand verses like 2 Timothy 1:6 that said, stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. Now, we didn't do much laying on of hands and weren't sure what that was about, and I wasn't sure how to stir up a gift, and I definitely didn't want to get into something fleshly where I'm like making it happen. But Paul was like almost commanding Timothy to do this. So it must be a good thing. And I think what it said to me was, you have a part in this. It's not that you're passive and it's only that the Holy Spirit gives gifts severally as he will. That was our favorite verse, you know. He's in charge of this. We're going to stay out of it. But this was saying, I have a responsibility to choose whether I'm willing for the Holy Spirit to stir up that gift in me and whether I'm willing to let people pray for me and lay hands on me regarding activating my spiritual gifts. So I said, okay, I'll do that. And Hebrews 5:14 made it clear, again, I have a part in this because it's by reason of use that our senses are exercised. We become more discerning. We know good and evil. We know truth from heresy. We know whether it's good doctrine or not, and what spirit is operating here. And I knew I had seen some things that were not the Holy Spirit, but actually it wasn't really that many. There weren't that many times. I can remember one time particularly when someone got up in a church and prophesied, and they were interrupting. They were not yielding to the pastor. You know, they, when the elders finally went up to them and just needed to usher them out because they just wouldn't stop, then they started cussing out loud. And then we all knew this is not the Holy Spirit. But should we throw out all the spiritual gifts because there's a few people around that are listening to the devil? I don't think so. And I saw verses like Matthew 25:28-29 that was definite that if you've been given a gift or a talent and you don't use it, you may lose what you've got and it may be given to someone else. And I thought, well, I'm not sure how that operates because I was thinking concretely. But it was clear that it was kind of like use it or lose it, use it. That God wants to give us spiritual gifts, but he wants us to be a good steward of it, and we are to use it to minister and benefit others and benefit the body of Christ. And so then 1 Timothy 4:14, double that, because it said, do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy. Uh-oh, you know, there's that. Do we have prophets and prophecy today? So I was noticing that so many of the verses about spiritual gifts, I had been taught some kind of objection to it. It wasn't that they had a whole book of objections. It's just whenever the subject came up, they had some disclaimer. But this says that something about prophecy and the laying hands of eldership, again, can activate, develop, or somehow get you going in your spiritual gifts. And I thought, I want that. If God wants me to have it, I want it. Then it said even more clearly in 1 Thessalonians 5:20, do not despise prophecies. And I thought, boy, if somebody came to our church, no matter how much in order they were, asking permission, going to the pastor first or clearing it with him or however they tried to do it, prophecy would not be received because they were dead set on that it hasn't happened since Pentecost. But I thought, I know that can't be true because almost all the books about the spiritual gifts that included something about the spiritual gifts were written after Pentecost. So it says, don't be ignorant. And I thought, I'm definitely ignorant. I have been raised in ignorance. 1 Corinthians 12:1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. So I kept studying on my own. And most of the books that I could find were like on the baptism of the Holy Spirit at that time. We're talking a long time ago. But I began to search. And you know, when you are seeking, you will find. The Holy Spirit will not disappoint you. And faith comes by hearing, Romans 10:17, hearing the word of God. And I began to study the word of God for myself. And I wrote my dad this long letter, and I said, you know, if we just took a marker and marked out everything in the Bible that that we say doesn't, you know, work anymore, that God doesn't do anymore, wow, we'd be marking out a lot. And I think that really offended him. But I was like, let's either believe it and receive it or admit, you know, that we are censoring the word of God. And so I didn't mean to sound like a smart aleck. I was just very frustrated because I had friends that were operating in the gifts, and I began to go to churches and visit where operating the gifts was a normal thing. And it was awesome. I heard tongues and interpretation of tongues first, but boy, was I comforted by the word that came first person from God. And it was even about the end times, you know, that I'm the one that puts the clothes on your back and the food in your mouth and the roof over your head. No matter what happens in the end times, I'll still be that one. And I've never forgotten that word. It just was burned in my soul. And I thought, you know, I like this. I like that everybody, every member in the body has something to give and to, you know, operate in a supernatural way, not just what we can do in our own strength. And it's not just all about the pastor or teacher evangelist. So I thought, okay, so we're all equipped with some gifts. And then that was another question. Is it a gift or can you have several gifts or can you have all of the gifts? And 1 Peter 14 says each one has received a gift, minister it to one another, be good stewards. But then other verses expanded on that and seemed to indicate that we could covet or eagerly desire all the gifts, like in 1 Corinthians 14:1, eagerly desire the best gifts, and especially to prophesy. And I thought, okay, I know that my friends would have said, if there is a gift of prophecy, it's very, very, very rare. And a prophet, oh man, that must be extremely rare. They're probably a kook. And I thought, no, I started visiting this prophetic church, and they had services every Friday night where they would minister to all the visitors first and then others. And the prophetic words were incredibly accurate. It was not the same thing for everybody. And there was such a power release, such a comfort in it. Oh, man. It was great. So I was looking at how Ephesians 4:16 says everybody has a part to do. It causes the growth of the body, the edifying of the body in love, that we're all knit together this way. And I thought, awesome. Awesome. You know, I am so relieved to know that it didn't all go away almost as quick as it happened in the early church. Because I could see, like in Genesis 3:8, that Adam and Eve heard the voice of the Lord. In fact, it was so real to them when they were walking in the cool of the garden that they would hear it, like with their ears. It was so real to them that when they sinned, they knew that they had to make a way to hide from God. So it wasn't that they had to seek to find him. They were expecting him, as usual. And they thought, what are we going to do? We'll have to hide from him. And I think many of us are hiding today. I had been hiding. Because I was, one, scared that I wouldn't get it because maybe it really wasn't real, these spiritual gifts and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But I was basically, yeah, I was hiding from God. But God says in Hebrews 4:16, he wants us to be able to come boldly before the throne of grace that we can obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And I could see the practicality of God. This isn't just grace to be saved, to get to heaven. This is hearing God's voice, letting the Holy Spirit operate through me in power so that we can be of a real help in a time of need, help to others, that we can receive help. You know, God is just really a practical God. So in 2 Timothy 2:2, the things that you've heard from me among many witnesses, this is one of my favorites, you know, about faithful men teaching other faithful men who will teach others also. Because I had gone so far as to join Campus Crusade for Christ staff for a couple years, and Bill Bright was just so big on this verse and how if we would all just disciple one person a year, and they discipled one person a year, we could win the whole world in 32 years. And that's without even believing in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because Campus Crusade just really soft-pedaled all that too. But in Matthew 25, Jesus gives an answer when the disciples had asked in Matthew 24, well, when shall these things be and what will we do? And they were talking about the end times. Now, part of that was fulfilled in 70 AD when the temple was destroyed and one stone was not left upon another. But then there was the rest of it. You know, what do we do until Christ comes? What do we do about the times of persecution before Christ's return? And I just love the practicality in Matthew 25 where he's saying, well, you know, visit the sick, clothe the naked, visit those in prison. And Matthew 25:21, the Lord said to them, well done, good and faithful servant, you faithful over a few things, I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of our Lord. And this is the principle, I believe, that has to do with spiritual gifts. If you will eagerly desire them, choose to be a good steward of them. Of course, this is going to take some of your time and energy and money to be a good steward of your spiritual gifts, whether you're helping, whether you're doing mercy, whether you're admin for somebody, you know, whether you've got a revelation gift, it is an investment in the kingdom of God. And I had to really do what Romans 12:2 says. I had to not be conformed to this world or what other people were telling me, but let the Holy Spirit transform me by the renewing of my mind. I had to search out the scriptures and let it prove to me what is the real will of God in this area. And so I did. I did. And the Bible says in John 7:17, if you're willing to do God's will, you'll know the truth. You'll know, you know, what's true doctrine. You'll know by whose authority this person's ministering, whether it's the Holy Spirit, whether it's a demonic spirit. But you have to be willing to do it. It didn't say if you're willing to know about God's will. It says, are you willing to do it? And so this took a commitment that I had to be willing to do what the Holy Spirit. And you know, this just came back to the same old thing that I had preached to other people. We need to be willing to make Jesus Lord of our lives. Or in this case, I needed to rephrase it and say, am I willing to let the Holy Spirit do any gift he wants to through me? Whenever he wants to, wherever he wants to. To whoever he wants to. Am I willing to be yielded to the Holy Spirit? And I thought, you know, this is really part of what this is about. Because it's not just that, you know, I don't think people like totally objected to having a spiritual gift, but they were scared of being submitted to the Holy Spirit. Then there were these doctrinal questions they would bring out. And I was beginning to think, okay, so how many doctrinal objections can we have before we just yield to the Holy Spirit? Because they would say, well, it's got to be only 3 prophecies per service. And I thought, well, fine, but in most of the churches I had been in when I grew up, there weren't any. You know, to have 3 would be quite an improvement. But then I found verses on my own that said, like 1 Corinthians 14:31, for you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. And so, gee, I thought all's a pretty big word there, for you can all prophesy one by one. And so I think what Paul is really saying is be flexible and let the Holy Spirit have his way. And this is how we really grow in our spiritual gifts, not by getting linear and having all these rules and saying the Holy Spirit can only do this in our church and he can't do that, but it's by being yielded to the Holy Spirit. And I found out it was way more fun to let the Holy Spirit have his way in church, because after all, why are we there? Is it a worship God service? Is it our service? Is it his church? Do we want supernatural power? Do we want the Holy Spirit to move in power through us and heal and set people free and transform us? Then some people would say, well, we can't have that in our church because it'll get out of hand. And the last thing we want is for the Holy Spirit to get loose in our church. And I thought, well, now you're getting more honest. But, you know, 1 Corinthians 14:32 says the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. And to me, that means that my spirit, yes, is to be one spirit with the Spirit of the Lord, 1 Corinthians 6:17. On the other hand, this doesn't mean I go berserk. It means just the opposite. It means that that spirit that submitted to the Holy Spirit, my spirit that submitted to the Holy Spirit, is also subject to me. And so a pastor in a service, for instance, shouldn't have to calm me down for speaking out of turn or trying to take over or out of order, because my spirit is submitted to the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that he's submitted to, and the Holy Spirit is the great orchestrator of all things. Amen. So, 1 Corinthians 2:16, who has known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And I kind of saw that verse in a new light. I thought, you know, is this verse saying, who are you that you think you can instruct God of how a service should go? Uh-oh. We had definitely been limiting God. We had definitely been quenching the Holy Spirit, and I was horrified to realize that. And if I have the mind of Christ, then I ought to be at one, you know, in oneness with the mind of Christ and totally yielded to what Jesus wants, because that is the Christian life. Amen. Christ in you. Christ in you, our hope of glory. Christ in us is everything. Without him, we can do nothing. Now, I hope that you're coming up with some questions. You can put them in the chat room. It's open. Or you can call in 917-388-4683. Because we're coming to that place, especially in these end times, where we're not going to be able to just figure it out and do it in our own strength for sure. And 1 Corinthians 12:8, you know, we're promised we can be given a spirit of wisdom, a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge. We can be given gifts of faith or healing and the workings of miracles, prophetic words, discerning of spirits. That's like what spirit somebody's operating in or what spirits are around you operating. We can be given different kinds of tongues. There's prayer language, and then there's tongues that require interpretation of tongues. And there's so much available to us. And I thought, can I really have all this? Or most of it, even. And I said, Lord, if anybody can have it, I want it. That's just where I am with this. If anybody can have it, I want it. And when I had that attitude, like that he that's willing to do God's will know what God's will is, will know whether the doctrine is true. When I developed that yielded attitude, then everything began to change. Hallelujah. Because I wanted to be able to discern. I had been gullible. I had been fooled in so many ways. I just had suffered a lot of pain because I didn't operate in God's discernment. And I was tired of trying to do things on my own, and I wanted the Holy Spirit to discern and operate through me. Matthew 16:3b, or the second half of 3, says, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you can't discern the signs of the times. And I thought, the signs of the times, I can't even discern the signs in my own relationships and my own life. And I just began to really hunger for the revelation gifts. It wasn't a matter of doctrinal debate. It was a matter of necessity. I could say, oh, I see why God is giving us this, because we need to know what spirit people are operating in. We need words of knowledge to know, for instance, if someone's telling you the truth or a lie. We need words of knowledge just to find the best deal. We need words of wisdom to know when to go forward, when it's a green light, when it's a red light. We need to know God's strategy for doing things and his timing and what's an open door and what's not. So I said, that's for me. That's for me. I want this supernatural discernment too. So another thing is, I was in mental health for off and on for 25 years, and sometimes I would discern things that no one else would, and most often I just discount what I thought. But then I began to see, oh, I'm the one with Christ in me in the room. I'm the one that's got the Holy Spirit. And I began to pull on the Holy Spirit to give me or operate in his discernment through me. And I fell in love with these verses in 2 Timothy 2:24 through 26. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, and I was bad about that, but be gentle unto all men. And here were the characteristics that I wanted in the ministry: to be apt to teach, but patient. Because sometimes it's hard to be patient with people who are shooting themselves in the foot over and over. I knew, because I was one. In meekness or humility, instructing those that oppose themselves. And I love the way the King James says that, that oppose themselves. Because see, when we're out of God's will, when we're listening to our flesh or just to people and not listening to God, we're opposing ourselves, coming up with our own plan. So if God peradventure would give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. And I thought, oh, here it is. We're cooperating with the Holy Spirit. We're getting words of knowledge and words of wisdom from Him so we can discern this person rightly. We know if their perceptions are accurate or not. We know what spirits are operating here for the purpose of verse 26, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. And I thought, that's what I want to do. I won't want everybody to make the same mistakes I made. Surely not. There's got to be a way for us to operate through the Spirit of God, to have revelation gifts, the words of wisdom, words of knowledge, prophetic words, and spiritual discernment, so that we can help people without everyone having to learn the hard way. Amen? Surely the Bible says that we can comfort others with the same comfort that we've been comforted with. So I knew that in Ephesians there was a wonderful prayer that we can pray for other people and ourselves, and it talked about that we could be given the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And I thought, you know, that's what I want, because I've been in the wilderness like 20 years. Seriously, in the wilderness, wandering around, seeking God, and yet making big mistakes, same ones over and over. I need to be known not for foolishness, but for a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Because here, I'm the one that's been to the Christian conferences and read my Bible all my life, and yet by blocking the spiritual gifts, it's not, this wisdom isn't flowing through me. And the Bible says, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. I wasn't sure what that meant, Revelation 19:10, but I knew that I wanted it. I wanted a good testimony. I want it to be about Jesus. And it says, eagerly desire the best gifts, and especially to prophesy, and I wanted it. And then there was that team spirit thing. I started watching them in this church, how they would minister in teams. And I thought, you know, that is so cool, because the Bible says we all only get, you know, a part. And so if we can minister in teams, then we get several parts. We have backup. And Ecclesiastes 4:9-10 says, two are better than one, because if they have a good reward for their labor, but also if one falls, the other one will lift him up. And I saw how the seasoned people who were not more comfortable, but more able to operate in their spiritual gifts would help the new ones. And it was just beautiful. Just beautiful. I thought, okay, so here's the discipleship, here's the mentoring, and also the Old Testament talks about schools of the prophets, and I wasn't sure that I knew of any, and then I became aware of them popping up in the 80s, and there were more and more, and I thought, well, they can't just hand you a gift, right? But the Bible does say that we stir up gifts by the laying on of hands and by, you know, the prayers of the elders and by prophecy. And so I began to observe how when I went to those services where they were prophesying to at least the visitors, if not everybody there, I thought, you know what, I'm hearing God better here too. And I could see what they were talking about in 1 Samuel 19:20, you know, when Saul sent messengers to take David and they saw this company of prophets prophesying and Samuel standing as appointed over them. The Spirit of God was upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. So I didn't know if these guys are really kind of leaning toward being prophetic or not, but it was teaching me that when you're around prophetic people, you can become more prophetic right away. And I just made a conscious decision. I made trips. I took my vacation time. I eventually sold my house and quit my job and moved to live among the prophets because I eagerly desired to prophesy. So here we've got it. How does this work? Well, the Bible says that the church is built upon the foundation. We call it, the nickname we've given it for it is like fivefold ministers, because he gave some to the apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. And you may say, well, I'm in one of those churches that doesn't do that. What do I do? You know, what do I do if I don't have an apostle to train me or a prophet that I can hang out with like Elisha hung out with Elijah? You know, what do I do? Well, for one thing, That's why we have radio and TV and online. You know, we've got our NowFaith.tv ministry training school online with over 4 years of interviews, radio programs like this, but the first 2 years are more clearly teaching and training and equipping and healing you so that you can get rid of the blocks in your life, hear the Holy Spirit better, and get on with fulfilling your vision. So it doesn't matter where you live, anywhere in the world, if you can access our website at nowfaith.tv, you can start ministry training and hear teachings by a fivefold minister, that would be me, and other people that I've interviewed, and you can begin today. You can grab a partner, pray the prayers for each other. You can start a small group and enjoy the videos and audios together and print out the handouts and the prayers. Or you can do it alone if you have to, but I would be asking God for someone to share that experience with, because it's hard to learn how to pray for people unless you pray for people. And if you have at least one partner, that would be ideal. So here's the key. Don't want to finish this without saying this. So many places it said, 1 Corinthians 13 and here in Matthew 23, 11 and 12, but he that is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Now, when you go to the subject of spiritual gifts and you eagerly desire them, be aware that the devil is going to try to motivate you to want spiritual gifts and to operate in them to get attention for yourself or to get power for yourself or something for yourself. And the verses that we've talked about tonight make it clear that God trusts us with spiritual gifts so that we can edify and console and exhort and build up other people. It's so that we can serve. The greatest among you shall be your servant. The word minister means to serve. So be aware of your motivations. No matter how gifted you are, be aware that your motivation is to glorify God and to love people, to know him, to make him known. Be aware of that because it can become wood, hay, and stubble. And you might say, well, I've seen people like the old story that's told over and over about A.A. Allen, who's passed away now, but he would be falling down drunk, praying for people to be healed, and they would be healed. And I'd say, yeah. Just because God operates in a gift through you does not mean he approves of your behavior, your choices, or your motivation. He healed those people for their sake, not because he approved of A.A. Allen when he was ministering drunk, okay? And so if you've had questions about some people that seem very gifted, but their lifestyle doesn't match it, don't judge them. Pray for them and say, God, you know, help me. Help me to have pure motivations, to want to minister in the spiritual gifts for your glory. And because I love people, and to have a true servant's heart, not for competition, and especially be aware when you're seeking God's will for your life and how he wants to operate through you in spiritual gifts, be aware, just be aware that the devil will want to motivate you to want it so bad that you go into divination and you let him give you his false gifts and his false power. So don't go there. That's way worse than starting back at square one. That just don't go there. Let God do it through you when he wants to do it, his way and his will and his timing. And it's kind of like the old story, I'll end with this, of a little water faucet that was moaning and moaning because he wasn't being used all the time. I thought, oh, I can relate. And someone said, well, you know, little water faucet, if you're on all the time, you would just flood the house. And he said, yeah, but I just need to be used. And they said, you need to be content that when the master is ready to use you, that he will reach out and turn the handle and turn you on. Otherwise, just being there, you know, available to the master is what he wants. And so don't fall into the trap of having wrong motivations. Just still know that it's Christ in you, the Holy Spirit in you, for the glory of God. Want to be baptized in the Spirit so that you can lift up Christ. Want spiritual gifts so that you can lift up Christ. Amen? Amen. Well, we've got a caller on the line, and this is the time for those of you. We've got a switchboard full of callers. If you would like to receive personal prophetic ministry tonight. If you have like a one-sentence prayer request, we don't go into whole scenarios. We certainly don't do hypothetical cases. But if you have an area where you would like to hear from the word of the Lord, we're going to believe for that. And I want to say right now, while we wait for people to push that little one and say they want ministry, I'm going to believe right now that we can all join together, and in the name of Jesus, we'll cancel every assignment of the enemy against us, our possession and property, everything and everybody that we know about. We'll cancel every assignment of the enemy against this program, against the words that go out, and say only Jesus Christ will be glorified and only the Holy Spirit will be allowed to operate here. And we choose to receive the Holy Spirit's words of wisdom, words of knowledge, and prophetic words. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, your spirit of wisdom and counsel and understanding, power and might and the fear of the Lord. We welcome you. And we choose to believe that it's your pleasure to commune with us ever since Adam and Eve. It was you walking and talking in the garden. It's always been you seeking us, that we're actually responding to you. We're not making you do something. And I thank you, Lord, that you have something to say to everybody. To everybody. And so what we are, we're just your willing vessels. We just choose to be containers and expressers of you. We thank you, Father, that everything you do for us and through us is in love. We just praise you, Jesus. Let me get a swig of juice here. Hold on. Okay, are you praying for me? We thank you, Father, for hearing our prayer. And I want to welcome Area 615 to the program.
Hello.
Area code 615, what's your first name?
Brian.
Brian?
Yes.
How are you tonight?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. We actually had a day in almost 60 degrees up here in Pennsylvania where it was 5 degrees last week, so we think we're doing great. How are you?
Yes, we had a pretty nice and warm day as well.
Thank God for a beautiful day now and then, even up north. Brian, do you have like a one-sentence prayer request or anything that you'd like to hear God about?
I just pray that the Lord would make himself more known in my life, that I would be able to see him more in my life, and also that the gifts that I have will be stirred up within me that I have yet to operate in.
Okay. And have you invited Christ into your life?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Okay. And are you familiar, or have you had the baptism of the Holy Spirit?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, either answer is okay. We just want to know where you're starting from. Thank you, Lord. I just thank you for Brian. Father, I just thank you for Brian, that he is that kind of man, like that, I'm thinking of the story in, I can't think of it, in Kings, where the prophet went to the king and he said, you know, strike the ground with these arrows. And he only struck it three times, and he thought three was great. But the prophet said, oh, if only you had struck it and struck it and struck it and struck it and kept striking it, your victory would be even greater. And Father, I thank you. I'm even imparting to Brian right now that he will be that person that just keeps pressing in and keeps pressing in. And sometimes he may feel like he's the importunate widow that, you know, that wouldn't stop asking the judge. Sometimes he may be like the one that searches for the lost coin, or like the woman from Capernaum who said, even the dogs get the crumbs from under the table. And I just impart to Brian that appetite for the things of God that won't quit, because God says, eagerly desire, not just ask, not just hope so, eagerly desire, and he will not give you a stone if you ask for a fish. And I just hear the Lord saying that, Brian, I want to impart that through you, that people have a true hunger to know me, not to be up front, not to have the microphone, you know, not to have the power, but to know me and to be expressor of me and my power. And if you will press in through the word, and I'm talking seriously disciplined time in the word and in prayer, but believing. The Lord says, I want you to read a verse and stop and say, I choose to believe it. I choose to believe it for me, that this will operate through me. And even the verses that we went over tonight, Brian, if you will just begin to declare and decree those verses, the Lord says, I will manifest them through your life. And people will wonder, where's Brian? What happened to him? And who is this? Because as you learn to declare and decree the word of the Lord over the areas that you want and also against the strongholds that would hold you back, the Lord says, I'm going to reveal the things that hold you back. And you make a conscious choice every day. Say, I'm letting go of whatever holds me back. I'm letting go of everything that's not Jesus. I'm grabbing hold of everything that is. And if you have that appetite for me, the Lord says, that you want everything I've got for you, that you'll give me absolute freedom to do anything I want through you, anywhere, anytime, with anybody, and anyhow I want to. The Lord says, I have yet to see a man who is totally yielded to me that will let me be God in his life and do it any way I want. And the Lord says, if you want supernatural to flow through your life, then there has to be that trust. And I want to build that trust, just absolute trust, that you will know that even if you've never done it before, even if anybody hasn't ever done it before, that if the Holy Spirit wants to do it through me, it will be good. And it may not look like a success even immediately, but it will be good in God's eyes. And so if you will set your heart tonight to please the Lord in any way he wants, the Lord says, I have yet to see a man that yielded, and I would love it if it were you.
Amen.
You up for it?
Hallelujah, yes, yes, yes. I have to praise.
Where are you from, Brian?
From Nashville, Tennessee.
Okay. All right, I've got some good friends in Nashville. I thought I recognized that area code. And Nashville needs to know Christ personally. So many people there, they can sing about it and they can talk about it, but they're as hungry and lonely to know God personally as anybody else.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Oh,
amen. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Well, I want to let him flow through me and introduce them to Christ.
Woo! Well, the Bible says that you can activate in spiritual gifts through the prophecy, through the laying on of hands of the elders or the fivefold ministers, and you just had both. I'm laying my hand on the computer. You receive it?
Yes, I receive it. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Are you familiar with my Facebook page? Do you know how to get there?
No, I don't, actually.
Okay, can you write down this address to go to my website, crosswalklife.com?
Let me get something to write this down.
Everybody will write that down. Crosswalklife.com.
Crosswalklife.com.
Mm-hmm. Up at the top left, you'll see a little box that says our websites, and you'll see the little Facebook, there's a little F icon above that. And when you click on that, it'll take you straight to my Facebook page. And on that tonight, there's a link that talks about the verses about stirring up spiritual gifts that we're using tonight. And you can click on that and print out all the verses that I just shared and declare and decree those on a daily basis, believing that God's no respecter of persons and I want him to do every bit of it through me.
Amen. All right.
Okay?
Okay, I believe it. I receive it.
I've already done the research. All you have to do is declare it.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay. Be blessed. Be blessed.
God bless you.
Good night. Please write us and let us know how it goes.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Area code 4110. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Carlotta. This is Valerie. How are you?
Valerie, how are you tonight?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Like I said, we had a beautiful day for a change. No snow, no ice, no freezing temperatures. I can walk outside without tears running down my face. So that's all it takes for me. What's happening there?
It is. It's cold here, but we had ice Sunday, basically on my stuff. but we haven't had any ice or anything lately.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you have a one-sentence prayer request or issue tonight?
Yes. Yes, I do. I was bitten by ticks about 10 years ago, and it was Lyme, but the doctors would not diagnose it for 7 years. And I have received continued prayer. I've been dealing with the organisms. They've been attacking my body. The last prophetic word I had received was that the bugs were coming out and the healing was coming. And I'm in the season of wanting the healing to be completed. Basically, mm-hmm. The prophetic word that the prophet had said, basically he had prophesied over another man, and he said that he saw a clock and saw God shaking these bugs out of Satan had put bugs into God's time, plans, and purposes for the gentleman.
Mm.
And I had driven up that same day, and I told my friend, I said, Katie, the enemy's bringing these bugs against God's timing and plans for me. I know that it's an attack. And they said, he prophesied that it had been an attack against me. And so I am ready for these organisms to go. I know that there's things that God wants me to do, and I am ready for healing in every way.
So is it, I'm a little rusty on my nursing here, so is it that there are organisms still inside you or the toxins?
I'm not really certain. All I know is basically when I was tested, they said that it was chronic because the doctors would not. I had to go to Virginia in order to get diagnosed because none of the doctors here in Maryland would diagnose it because
okay.
the testing was not any good. And so the doctor in Virginia that tested me said that basically it had been Lyme along with the other organisms. There's Bartonella and some other three or four other different organisms, basically.
Okay. Well, excuse me, the nurse in my system. Had to ask.
And so I've been having just different symptoms as far as with attacks on my muscles and on joints and just with my digestive and just all the stuff that these nasty little bugs are.
Okay. Got it. Do you have my Tearing Down Strongholds course yet?
No.
Okay. I know that you have been praying for us. I just know that. And I would like to gift you with that download series. Do you know how to download things?
Yes. Just go into your website and download it.
Well, I can gift you with that. Don't do this all the time. But, Valerie, I just really feel like I'm relating for one thing, but I had some chronic diagnosis for 20 years, and there wasn't anything that was helping it. They studied me at Emory University. They couldn't figure out why it was so bad, and on and on and on. And I find that when you have things that there seems to be no cure for, then that's all the more reason to learn how to pray scripture, come against whatever stronghold is obstructing the healing, and get your healing on the way. But it's the Strongholds course, there are 70 pages of scriptures, and you really have to pray several pages of them each day. You don't just read it and you're done with it. You have to do warfare with it. And if you're willing to do that, I don't mind gifting you with it. And you can you can email me and remind me tomorrow to send that to you.
Okay.
Okay? All right. And I hear the Lord saying that the enemy's plan has been just to slow you down, tie you up, you know, keep you in reverse if possible, if not, to just have this like a ball and chain on your foot. And
yeah.
The Lord says that my plan is not the same, you know, that as you press in, I'm going to show you what the enemy is bringing against you in the courtroom of heaven. I just see the enemy coming into the courtroom of heaven and saying, but she's never confessed this, or there's this thing that's blocking her, or she agreed with me and she's never come back into agreement with you, and I have every right to harass her. And the Lord, as you declare these verses, he is going to show you what the devil's case is in the courtroom of heaven. There really is such a thing. It's not just Job. And the Lord says, I am faithful, faithful, faithful. I am Jehovah Rapha, your healer. I will, I have promised you that my word will never come back void, and it won't. And I'm taking you to an advanced level of warfare where you come against the principalities over infirmity, the rulers in high places of darkness, and you will know how to declare my word, how to reach into heaven and bring down the things that I have promised you. And as you do that, the angels will be activated who will fight on your behalf, and this war will be won. But there are a few things that the enemy insists, because he is a legalist, he insists it has never been confessed as sin, it's never been renounced. And the Lord says, as you declare those verses, I will give you the keen insight to know and to recall what things he's talking about, and then you'll just be able to tear it down.
Come on.
Okay? All right. So email me tomorrow at CWT@CWLINC.com, CWT@CWLINC.com, and remind me, okay?
Great. Thank you very much, Carlotta.
Thank you. You know, I'd like to say that you're healed instantly, but this is what I'm hearing, that there's a strategy to it. It's an upper-level strategy, and God wants you to learn it because you're going to, you know, teach others also.
Amen. Amen. I believe.
Amen. Be healed, woman of God.
Amen. Thank you.
Woo-hoo. Thank you, Lord. You're so wonderful, Lord. We just praise your name. Have a good night, Valerie.
You too. God bless.
Okay. We praise your name, Jesus. We praise your name. Now, I know you didn't make her sick just to teach her something and all, like some people would say, but I know that you are raising up Valerie as a mighty warrior. And she is motivated, and she will declare and decree in agreement with you until the battle is won. Area code 215, welcome to the program.
Oh, hi, this is Jan. I haven't ever called before, but a friend of mine said that you were on tonight, and she said, why don't you give a call? So that's what I'm doing. And
is it Jan, J-A-N?
Yes. And
okay.
I would like prayer for my daughter. And it's funny that you should be talking about spiritual gifts, because she was born and had a birth accident. So she had great difficulty in school and that kind of thing. But she, God gifted her with almost every gift. And she was working in the church with, we actually had, well, we call it a prayer ministry, but it's a deliverance type ministry. And somehow the enemy has gotten in here, and she's had difficulty with two churches, and now she doesn't go to church. I can't talk about church. It's just not a good thing. I know that God is working behind the scenes. I have absolute confidence of that. But I would ask you to pray, along with the prayers that have been prayed for her, that it's just gone on so long.
All right. Okay, Jan, do you know how to get to my website at crosswalklife.com?
I don't, but I heard you give it to the other.
Yeah, if you'll write that down, shortly near the top on the left side, there's a link called Archives.
Okay.
This is an exhortation, this first part. If you'll click on Archives, it takes you to a page that's a little bit more organized, and it's got groupings of different kinds of articles. And about two-thirds of the way down, there's one called Prayer Strategies. And the one that came to me immediately is called the 40-Day Prayer Strategy.
Okay.
And it's loosing and binding prayers. And it covers about 10 strongholds, and it's kind of like the mini, mini version of the strongholds course that I was just telling Valerie about.
Uh-huh.
You're welcome to order that also. But for free, you can go ahead and get the mini course of loosing and binding prayers and learn you know, just discern which ones, if not all, that God wants you to declare, what verses to declare, and what things in the name of Jesus. You know, we've been given the keys of the kingdom. You can loose her from certain things. And apparently the enemy, okay, well, here's God. Jane, I hear the Lord saying that the enemy has come in with the same old bait of Satan that he's used in times before, but of course when it's our blind spot, it's hard to see.
Mm-hmm.
And he's come in with that offense. He's come in with the doubts about the spiritual authorities, and it's caused a rift. And the I hear the Lord saying that the enemy has been able to cause her to judge and condemn and dishonor spiritual authority, and he's been able to use that against her to take away her spiritual authority or to disable it for right now. Because until, well, the Lord says, I say in my word, there is no excuse for you, O man who judges another. You know, if you honor authority, things will go well with you. If you honor your father and mother, your days will be long on the earth. Uh-huh. And the Lord says, as you pray these and declare these verses on the loosing and binding prayers and the 40-day prayer strategy, the lights will come on. Her eyes will be open. She'll have spiritual eyes and spiritual ears to hear me. She'll be able to see the ploy of the enemy to cause her to take offense. And also, but underneath that, what I'm hearing the Lord say, hear the word of the Lord, that there are some rifts with me that were lying under the surface since the beginning, since she was born. There's some rifts with me, and these issues with the authorities are just the surface issues and surface causes. And the Lord says, as you pray those scriptures, and maybe, you know, for too long she'll join with you and you can do it together in some way. If not, the Lord says, I will have another plan. But as her eyes are open, her ears are open, she's going to be able to see that her real issue is with me. Why let these things happen? Why, about my sovereignty, do I really have her best interest at heart, the Lord says. And praying scripture will take the blinders off. She'll be able to see what the issues are. She can turn her anger toward the devil, but she needs to learn how to ask forgiveness five ways, and that's on my website too, under Restoration Prayer Ministry. She really needs to learn how to ask forgiveness five ways, because the Lord says her resentment against the authorities and against my choices and why I allowed things to happen to her, her resentment is holding her back and is blocking her healing. It's blocking me from getting into the back rooms of her heart and doing the healing.
Okay. Okay. Very good. Thank you very much. Thank you, Lord. Thank
now,
you.
Now, you know, you can play this. This program will be posted 30 minutes after it's over. And at any point after that, you can play this back. Your prophecy's almost right in the middle here.
Okay.
And you can begin to transcribe it.
Okay. You mean go on the number again or to stay on the line? Or how
if you come back to the Blog Talk Radio website.
Oh, to the website,
thing,
okay.
You know, up there on my crosswalklife.com site, where it says our website, you'll see the one that says our Blog Talk Radio. And when you click on that, it'll take you to our page. You'll scroll down to this program. And if you go ahead and skip through it till almost halfway through, then you'll come to this conversation right here, and you can transcribe it. Just hit the pause button over and over and transcribe it.
Okay, I'll try to do that.
It's work, but it's worth it.
Yeah, oh no, it isn't that. It's just I'm not computer literate, you know, and I don't, it's fine. I'll work on it.
If you don't have anybody else, call me back, not on this number, but on our office number tomorrow, and I'll help you.
Okay, thank you. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay,
mm-hmm. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus, for praying mothers, for family that cares. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Oh, how we need each other. Oh, thank you, Lord. Area code 989, welcome to the program. Area code 989.
Hello?
Would you care for personal ministry tonight?
Yeah. I didn't know I had press one. Sorry about that.
You may not have. I, in my zeal, may have taken you next regardless. So you have a choice. You do not have to receive ministry tonight.
Okay. Yeah, I would like to.
What's your first name?
Lillian.
Lillian. Beautiful. Do you have a special issue or request?
I was thinking about what did God want me to do as far as my giftings are concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Like, should I be going to school? I just don't know.
You mean like college or ministry school?
Well, college for right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, big decisions. Big decisions. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just thank you, Lord, for Lillian. I thank you for her interest in hearing the voice of the Lord, even if it's just for other people. I thank you that you are putting a witness in her spirit tonight that she can hear the voice of the Lord more and more and more. And I just hear the Lord saying, seek me, seek me, seek me, Lillian. You will not be disappointed. The difference between the people that can hear God and the people that think they can't is just that they sit down and listen and seek me. The Lord says, as you allow me to change your schedule, I will give you the answers to the big changes in your schedule, like school and training. But allow me to change your schedule, even tonight and tomorrow, so that I have a bigger spot in your life. The Lord says, just allow me to speak to you through my word, and I'd like you to just think of it like a date and say, what would you like to do today, Lord? And allow time. And then allow me to either take you to, like, the Word of God, to some praise songs, to journaling, to all different things. But the Lord says, as you make more room for me, I'm going to give you more and more clarity and direction. And, yes, I do have teaching and training for you, but he's not going to let me say right now, but the Lord says, first thing is for you to learn firsthand from me, and that I do have teaching and training. I'm sensing it's also two things for you, and you will know that you know that you know when it's me, and you will know also because I'm providing. I'm making a way for you to get there. I'm giving you the time and energy. I'm giving you the provisions.
Wow.
So basically he's saying, listen up, I want to tell you firsthand, because it's always about relationship. He wants more relationship with us.
Mhm. Okay.
Where are you from?
Michigan.
Michigan, wow. That's where it really is cold.
Yeah.
Okay, do you know how to get to our ministry training school online? Nowfaith.tv?
Yeah. Yeah, I checked it out before.
Yeah, if you try listening to some of those videos, you'll find out they're deeper than you think. And you will need the keys to being restored that are in there no matter what school you go to.
Okay.
Okay, that's the quick way to learn. You know, I just got really tired of learning the hard way.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, dear. Bless you.
You too.
All right. Well, we have some callers, but no one has pushed one. If you would like personal ministry tonight, I need you to push one and let me know that you do want me to call upon you. And I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anyone else want personal ministry tonight? Well, Father, we just thank you that you never let your word turn back void, that You always are faithful. You always keep your promises. And we thank you that your will and word and way will be done. We thank you even for your timing. We thank you for the things that we thought you could never redeem, that you're going to redeem them. We just praise you, Jesus. You're a good God. You're a good God, and I guess we're finished early tonight. So I thank you very much, Lord. Thank you, and I want to encourage everyone that's listening now and through the downloads and all, if you will, go to our Facebook page. Again, you can find that icon at the top left of crosswalklife.com. If you'll go to our Facebook page and look in the notes, it's called Notes at the top left of our Facebook page, and click on the one that's about developing our spiritual gifts and the verses. And if you will do the same thing as the Lord exhorted someone else and begin to declare those verses each day, then you will be able to see the Word of God and the power of it work in your life, and the Holy Spirit will be able to work with that. The angels will rush to perform it, and you'll see God working in your life to develop spiritual gifts in and through you. Oh, here's someone. We have one more caller. Area code 254, welcome to the program.
Yes, hi, this is Christy.
Hi, Christy. What's happening?
Nothing, I just figured I would go ahead and try to get in since you said that you were finishing up early, so I wanted
okay.
to call in and ask. I had received a personal prophecy one time not too long ago about receiving a gift of healing in my hands,
mm-hmm.
and I was just wondering if I was, you know, going to get a confirmation on that, or if there was anything else that the Lord wanted me to know.
Okay. I was just writing down your phone number. Was that from this ministry you received that word?
No, that was from another ministry.
Okay, I was trying to remember. if I had ministered that to you or something,
no.
I just didn't remember. Okay, Father, I thank you for Christy. I thank you that she is willing to sow into other people's lives. And the Lord says, I am finding you to be a good steward. And even in the midst of troubled times, that you are consistent to keep your hand to the plow, to hold on to the vision and the mission that I've given you. You're consistent to sow into other people's lives. And the Lord says, your service is a blessing to me. Because some people have to be recognized and appreciated. Others have to be compensated. Others have to have the glory, and they touch my glory. And it says, oh. The Lord says, your service is a blessing to me because you are willing to sow into good ground, and you're willing to do it for my sake and out of compassion for people, and whether you get any recognition or not. And the Lord says, I am pleased, and I have heard the cry of your heart for even healing at your house. And as you sow into others, you will see that healing come about. But yes, the Lord says, my hands are in your hands. Just hold your hands out and look at your palms. My hands are inside your hands. I have all the healing and all the healing gifts there are in me. And I want to heal through you, and it will be simple prayers. It's not something difficult that you have to learn. And I'd like you to do a study, the Lord says, the first 9 chapters of Luke. Just like get a simple thing. Get out like a marker and mark every time that I worked through people to heal and deliverance, and kind of make like a little chart and really see my ways and how I healed. And the simple prayers that I used. And you'll never see anybody begging me for healing, the Lord says, in those chapters. You won't see anybody begging me. Because the people that prayed for healing didn't pray like beg for it. They commanded it. And the Lord says, I'm giving you new insights into the spiritual power and authority you have because I'm in you. And you are being faithful to sow into other people's vineyards, and that means that you will have more power and authority to operate in the places I take you, the scope of influence that I give you, the sphere of influence. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Did that help any, Christy?
Amen. That helped me so much. Thank you. I mean, that just brightened me up so much because, I mean, just what he was saying about the troubled times and that he is with me, and it just really ministered to me. It was such a blessing. Thank you.
I think the verses on the spiritual gifts are for you, too, that just declare those and let God, I don't know, I'm just sensing that you've been taught a lot of things that aren't so, kind of like I was, and it, as you declare those verses, then God's truth is going to come through, and he will sort it out for you, and you will know what's the truth and what's not.
Right, and I think that when God was saying that, you know, it's not going to be a hard thing, because I tend to kind of overcomplicate it, and I want to have just this special formula and know all the right ways to do it. But I think that it's going to be a simple thing, and that's really good to hear that, that it's not, doesn't have to be complicated.
I think that's why I want you to read Luke, because so many times they would say like two words, and we make it these long prayers, you've got to know how to do it and hold your mouth just right. But they would say like,
right,
rise up, and they're done. You know?
Right.
And it wasn't,
right,
it wasn't that, even though I lead people in repentance a lot, and there's not a thing wrong with that, and sometimes that is the thing to do, so many of the examples in the Bible, they would just say, take up your bed and walk, take up your bed and walk, you know, five or six words,
right,
and
that's,
they're done
it
already. You know, it was clearly the power of God doing it.
Amen. Well, thank you. I appreciate it very much. Thank you.
You're very welcome. So if we have another caller tonight, please push number one so that we'll know you want ministry. And be blessed, Christy. I hope to hear some testimonies.
Thank you. I will send it in. Have a good night.
Okay. Good night. Okay. Anyone else? Looks like we're done early tonight. Okay. I just want to encourage you to invite friends to join us next Monday night. I know that a lot of you called in Saturday. We actually had two programs, Saturday and Monday. But invite your friends to join us next Monday night. They can check us out at our ministry training school with audios and videos on nowfaith.tv and read over 300 free articles on crosswalklife.com. I want to remind you that because we were hacked again this fall, that the audios and videos on that are broken, but those articles are all still there. Wonderful, wonderful resources. You can put most anything in the search box and find something related to what you want to hear the Lord about. So I hope that you will join us next Monday night for more Crosswalk Talk. He will speak the Lord and believe that God wants to not only speak to you, but through you. Amen? Amen. And be blessed.
I could have fortune and fame, go anywhere, do anything, but oh God, I just want you. I could search for earthly things to satisfy my every need. Oh God, I just want you. I just want you. I just want to live in your presence. in your presence every day. I just